hear you. I can see you're talking, but we can't hear you. You're muted.
Thank you, Sharon. I was testing to see if you were paying attention.
Yeah,
I said this is Jeff Sachs from Web Yeshiva and Beit Knesset Mishkan Tzipora in Zayit. Welcome to those of you online. I see a Naomi Mann is joining us, and unless I'm mistaken, you might be new to the class. I don't recall your name, and welcome, but just send us in the chat or turn on your microphone if you want, and let us know where you're joining us from.
Netanya, Israel.
From Netanya, wonderful. Welcome, welcome. Anyway, I was saying before the microphone got turned on that I hope that we'll learn throughout the summer. There's some years where lots of people all go away around the same time, and we take off a couple of weeks. But in general, if people are willing to attend online in person, we'll continue having shiur throughout the summer. I do know, however, that there are a couple of weeks that I'll be traveling and obviously won't be able to be teaching. One of which is, I think, in 3 weeks from tonight. But I will update you as we get closer. I want to turn our attention to Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph 44a. Here's 44a. I want to kind of recap what we were doing. And again, apologies that we did not meet last week. Conflicts came in the way. Pass these around to the folks here. And those of you online will be able to see online this handy little summary that I prepared, which might make it a little bit easier to make our way through this particular Gemara that we left off somewhat in the middle 2 weeks ago before we celebrated Aaron's 60th birthday. So happy birthday to you.
Thank you.
The Gemara at the end of Mem Gimel Amud Beis 43b, based upon a Mishnah in Gittin, had introduced a machloket. Now that machloket is the main subject of 44a, Mem Dalet Amud Aleph. It's based on this Mishnah that you see here. It's a Mishnah in Masechet Gittin. Masechet Gittin, Perek 6, Chapter 6, Mishnah 2. Here's the Mishnah and here's the Kahati. I turn our attention to the commentary of the Kahati because it will be useful to us. Ne'ara ha-me'urasa. You remember what the Ne'ara ha-me'urasa is. In that 6 month period between the time that a girl reaches bat mitzvah until she's 12 and a half, she's called a ne'ara. She's no longer a ketana, she's no longer a minor, but neither is she fully halakhically an adult for all purposes. I mean, you know, we'll make a bat mitzvah. Well, we have a bat mitzvah coming up later this summer. So make a bat mitzvah when a girl is 12. For all intents and purposes, the ne'ara today is a not so relevant halachic category, since we don't tend to marry off our daughters at the age of 12. Well, although some days you do anything to get a kid out of the house, but thankfully we don't marry off. Like, yeah, I've noticed that even with the adult children, they get married, but it does not just that they come back, they leave all their stuff in your house. We have a museum of Shalom Sachs.
And they come back with interest.
Yeah, they come back, they still eat your food, they do their laundry. As a matter of fact, during Sheva Brachot, our son is back home doing his laundry. I said, I don't think you got the memo about how this is supposed to work. But today, nowadays, we certainly don't marry our children off at the age of 12. But in the times of Chazal, there was this concept of the Ne'araha Me'urasa, this young girl who's in this kind of liminal stage, not fully an adult, no longer a child, and the father is able to marry her off, but that marriage, the question is, how much control does she have over the marriage, both entering the marriage and exiting the marriage? So the Mishnah says, again, this is the Mishnah in Gittin, Ne'araha mi'urasa, this girl, when she's mi'ureset, right, she's betrothed, right, which for halachic purposes is much more serious than what we call engagement today, but not full marriage. He ve'aviha mikablin et gita. The Mishnah literally says she and her father can accept her get. If the marriage is being called off at that point, she needs a get, a divorce. But who functions as the recipient of the get for this girl? So the Mishnah says he ve'aviha. You see the commentary of the Steinsaltz here. He. What did I say?
You said Steinsaltz.
Oh, I meant Kati. Kati. He ve'aviha. He ba'atzma mikabelet et kita. Right? In other words, Chazal, Kati is really just channeling for us, distilling for us how Chazal read the Mishnah. Right? In other words, either the father or the girl, right?
Both at the same time.
Well, as you know from having learned ahead, there is one who reads the Mishnah as possibly meaning they both have, they have to do it together. They have to co-sign the check. It says and, but as David points out, grammatically, the vav can be sometimes a vav achibur, and sometimes it can be a stand-in for a conjunction for this. In English, you can also say, right? Who can sign? Who can sign the checks? Who can sign the checks? You can sign the check, and your wife can sign the check, and your kid, who's a co-signer on the account, can sign the check. Doesn't mean you all have to sign the check. It means any one of those people are authorized to sign the check. O would be more precise according to that reading, correct? But as you know, sometimes the Mishnah is not exactly precise in that way.
They both have to endorse it.
Is that true?
At least it was
yeah. Yeah.
That's not true here. That's not true. Yeah. I don't think so.
She wasn't.
Well, I think it depends. You know, it does depend on how you open your accounts here. And it's here. And I remember last time I opened a personal account was many years ago when we first got married. But I do recall that they asked us, do they want it to be, in other words, there's two ways to set up the account, right? Jeffrey and Ilana Sachs, where every check needs both signatures. Or, meaning Jeffrey and, or Jeffrey or Ilana Sachs. In other words, most people set it up that either spouse can sign the check.
You were talking about signing a check you made, and was talking about a check made to you.
What should have a higher standard? To need two signatures on money going out, or to need two signatures on money coming in? You want to give me money, I assure you my wife is happy to have it.
That does not change what you need to do if the check is made out to you and it. But I do not know the money.
Right. On the check, on our checks, it says Jeffrey, V.O., and or Ilana. Yeah. In my personal checking, in my personal account, we are each authorized to act as full agents for everything. But it depends on how you set up the account. But this is not our topic for tonight, how Israeli bank accounts work. Yes.
And then he batma, it's like redundant. Right?
I'm sorry. Ne'aramu says he va'aviyah mikablinat kita.
Okay. As I think you said, you read, you can read it as the ve, you can read it at all. Is that what you said? So maybe I didn't understand.
That's how we're reading the Mishnah, that either she or her father could accept her get. Right? So the Kahati here says, he ba'atzma. Mikabelet et gita, v'afilu shelo midat aviha, meaning she is fully authorized, the Nara Mu'rasa is fully authorized to accept her get, even if her father doesn't know about it. Even though, generally speaking, we say that the father has still a certain authority over the daughter. Avia mikabelet gita blo da'ata. But he's also a free agent. The father can also accept the divorce for the daughter without her knowing about it. Shekein zika hakatuv yad la'av bevito ha-ne'ara. Because the Torah gives authority, yad, it gives him a hand in the matter, right? In terms of the daughter's marital state at this window of time before she's fully an adult. Aval lo hifkia katuv et yada. So it is, even though the Torah gives the father certain authority over the marriage, it does not, however, mafkia. It doesn't
diminish.
It doesn't cancel. It doesn't annul her rights over herself. Tell them that Marv is inside. Arvit bifnim.
I I think you might have spent some time.
I apologize. We bought this fancy new external mic so the people online would be able to hear the people around the table. And then we figured out the computer needs to be plugged into the wall in order for it to work. But I forgot to bring the mic. So I'll just ask the people around the table to speak up so that people can.
You might have asked this last time, but I don't remember the answer. We keep talking about, here it says in Tahati, midata via or midata. But why is that a necessary requirement? I understand the receipt of the get is needs to be done by the daughter or the father. But why is it al data? Why do they have to accept it? The husband, gives it, and that's it. So why does it matter?
The husband gives it, but the husband gives if the father has if the father has the rights over the daughter's marriage, and the husband gives the.
Doesn't matter who receives the actual physical get, not about who accepts it in their mind. It doesn't. The husband gives it; it's done. It doesn't matter.
If they
choose to reject it, it doesn't make a difference.
In other words, if Reuven, in a regular case with married adults. Reuven is married to Leah. If Reuven gives the get to Leah's father, if Reuven gives the get to Leah's father when Leah's a full adult, has he done anything? It's meaningless, right? If her father is her shaliach, which she has appointed with da'at, so that when he gives the get to the father, they're divorced. So the question is, in this circumstance, do we say, you know, just like, by the way, like we have this concept of an apotropis or a, what do we call it in English, a guardian, right? A guardian means usually the biological parents or an appointed guardian over the children. The guardian is automatically the shaliach for the children's interests. So do we say in this case, when she's still not yet fully an adult, if the father accepts it,
there's a difference between shaliach and apotropos in that you can just you're trying to do something. We talked about the last thing. We were talking about, you know, can you do something for the benefit of the person and all other things. Here it's entirely passive. The wife is not somebody who, it's, her decision is not really relevant. It's the pasuk talks about matan biyada. So the question of whose hand actually receives it, is it the father's hand or the daughter's hand? But I don't see how it makes a difference. Why at the end of the conversation before, why it talks about data?
In other words, without her knowledge. In other words, if in an adult case, if he gives the get without her knowledge, she's not divorced.
That's her requirement. It's not that how, like her acceptance, it's just her awareness.
Awareness, yeah. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda. What?
It does also mean opinion. Is it possible that?
Okay. Look, first of all, the word. The word dat here is in the Kahatzi. It's not in the Mishnah. So you don't start jumping up in that. I'm pretty sure it means that without her awareness of
right.
So let's go on in the Mishnah, please. Omar Rabbi Yehuda, ein shtei yadayim zochot kachat. But two hands cannot accept as one. The act of giving. Why does the Mishnah use this phrase Yadayim Yad, etc.? Because of the pasuk, Venatan biyada. One of the requirements of giving a get is that the husband puts it into her hand. Now, does it have to be literally her hand? No, clearly not, because her shaliach's hand is not her hand. Except we imagine that her messenger's hand is her hand. And it might not even have to be a hand. It could be a receptacle that she accepts it in, right? It could be even her chatzer, right? Her yard. So this is excellent. This is exactly the question, right? Does a young girl have, is there an way to extend her domain, right? The home base to which you have to, the basket, like, you know, you shoot the ball, has to get in the basket. Right, so what's the basket in terms of passing this get into? So ein shtei yadayim zochot kachat. So Rabbi Yehuda says ein yada v'yad avia yecholot lezakot begita kachat. What do you mean, both hands? Ela avia mikabelet gita bilvad. No, Rabbi Yehuda says only the father of the minor daughter is authorized to accept the get. Ella avia mikabelet et gita bilvad, v'chol she'ena yechola l'shmor et gita, and a girl who's not a married girl, a married ketana. And we mentioned last time, there was this idea that not just a girl 12 and up, but even girls 12 and below could be married off in a kind of form of a rabbinic marriage, which might have been instituted for all types of reasons to take care of little girls who couldn't be supported otherwise. It's a strange idea to us, and we acknowledge that. But let's finish the Mishnah before anybody asks any questions. If you marry off a little girl, right, and she's so young that she's not even responsible enough to receive a piece of paper and to guard it and to hold on to it and to have that minimal amount of knowledge of what's maybe going on. Kegon ketana, kishein ba da'at lishmor et gita, ein ha'yechol hitgaresh. So in that case, the divorce cannot yet be affected because she's not, even though she was able to enter this marriage, or this, as it were, marriage, she's not able to get out of it. Vafilu bekabelet haget al, no, she can't do it. Vafilu bekabelat haget al yedei aviha, right? Misha mishalcha ve'ena chozeret yatsa zusha mishalcha ve'chozeret. V'yesh mefarshim she'al yedei aviha mitgeresh. And some say no, that when her father accepts it, she's divorced. Shechein aviha mishamra shelo tachzor. In other words, what's the problem? How does divorce work? Right? Divorce, to a certain degree, is a one-way street in Judaism. Right? Even though you do have this idea that you can be machzir grusha under certain circumstances. But generally speaking, divorce is, if you divorce someone and you don't set her free completely, then it's not a divorce. As you, husband and wife get divorced, and then they go back and live in the same house, ki'ilu it's like their husband and wife. You hear stories like that, right? In the general world, people get divorced for whatever reason, and then they continue to live together as man and wife. So that raises a question about whether or not she's halachically divorced. Because what does the pasuk say? Vishalcha mi beito. You put the get in her hand and you send her forth from your house, from the husband's house. Right? It's a kritut. It's a severing of this bond. So if she's a little girl and, you know, like a, I don't know, what you have a dog, right? Followed her to school one day, right? In other words, you're like, you let a lamb. You let the dog off down the block, the dog's going to know how to get home, right? So in other words, this little girl, you divorce her, and then you set her loose and she comes back home, right? That shows that she didn't understand that the marital bond has been broken. But when her father does it, if her father's around and her father can accept the get and can then take her back into his home and make sure that she's, you know, separated from his ex-husband. So then maybe that's something else. Elishab Mishnatenu Oseket Biyitomaktana. But the Mishnah is talking about a little orphan girl. Now, the reason that she might have gotten married at a young age is, of course, she was orphaned, right? And this might have been done in order to protect her. She'im eina yechol shmort gita, eina yechol lekabel get bechlal. If she's not old enough to accept the get and to understand what's going on, and she has no father with the authority to do this for her, so then she can't get divorced until she ages up and can do it. You wanted to say something, Flattery, but speak up.
I don't remember what I was thinking.
You wanted to say something.
I was thinking.
That's why it's worth it for me to stop people from talking, because you forget what you're going to say.
Is the katana actually living with the man who
in conjugal relations? Is that your question? Certainly not. No. Yes. That was the point, that he would care for her. He would raise her. He would support her.
It's not just Erosin. It's actually Nisuin.
Ketana can be, yeah.
So then, if that's the case, then why would you?
But it's only rabbinic.
So why would you be back concerned that she would be able to nishmorel ketubatah, not just nishmorel gitah? She has to have. You can't. A person without a ketubah can't remain married, so she can be nishmorel ketubatah.
I don't know. It's a good question. So our Gemara in Kiddushin, there's a machloket. There's a machloket between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan say, based upon this Mishnah. And the way they read the Mishnah, Kahati reads the Mishnah according to the Maskona. And as Kahati, that was the greatness of Kati. He explained the Mishnah without having to learn all the Gemara. Now, sometimes he explains the Mishnah according to the Pshat, the Mishnah, and the Gemara learns differently. But usually what he's doing is he's telegraphing to you the bottom line of much of what we do in the Gemara is try to wade through the opinions. Much of what we do in the Gemara is trying to wade through how the Amoraim learns the Mishnah. We're not interested in how you learn the Mishnah. We're interested in figuring out how the Amoraim learned the Mishnah, right? Meaning that the Tanaim wrote the Mishnah, the generations afterwards, the Amoraim, they were debating what is the meaning of this text. And so what we do is try to figure out how did the Amoraim learn the Mishnah, which may or may not jive with the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Vav can sometimes mean or, and can sometimes mean or. And that kind of is the debate here. So the Rabbanan say that a Nara Hamurasa or her father can accept the get. Right? So they read the Vav as or.
Let's say it's punctuated, or as though it said the Nara can accept the get and the father can accept the get.
Correct. Correct. The authorized, those authorized to accept the get are the girl herself, semicolon, and her father. Should be obvious that we're talking about, either or. But Rabbi Yehuda says only a father can accept the Na'ara Amurasa's get. So what does he do with the Mishnah?
Yeah.
That's what he's saying. That's in other words, the machloket, the machloket in the Mishnah is the Chachamim, the Tanakama says both. That's how they read the Vav. But Rabbi Huda says only the father can, because he can't have two people authorized to do the same thing. But our Gemara has a machloket about that machloket. I'm sorry, what I just said is that's all in our Gemara in Kiddushin has a machloket about that machloket. Right? Does this machloket in the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, does it apply to Gittin? Or can we learn from it also to Kiddushin?
I must say it's the other way around. I'm guessing perhaps Kiddushin influenced the your understanding here of this in Yom Data, in other words, because that's actually after that Data.
Oh, that's interesting. Because by saying it, so
you know, by Erosin, you have to have Data. That's a requirement. So right. If you're going to talk about this idea of Data, and by the way, it's not just Kati. I looked at the mentioned in the Gemara.
So Reish Lakish in our Gemara, Reish Lakish says that the Machloket above applies even in the case of Kiddushin. In which case, so the Tanakhama, the Rabbanan, hold that a Na'ara can also accept her own Kiddushin.
Or the father.
And Rabbi Yochanan says, the Rabbanan only disagree with Rabbi Yehuda in Gittin. Meaning the Mishnah in Gittin is localized to Gittin. And we can't extrapolate it to Kiddushin. So Rabbi Yochanan says that the Rabbanan agree with Rabbi Yehuda that only the father can accept the Kiddushin for a Na'ara. Right? This might have been better as a chart, as a Punnett square. Right?
There's only machlok when it comes to the kitchen.
No, in other words, it's a machloket. It's a two-way machloket. It's a machloket about get, and then it's a machloket whether or not that machloket applies to Kiddushin.
Well, going back to what I asked earlier, I think this would be relevant. You said the dot would mean awareness. That makes sense for get. It doesn't make sense for Kiddushin. For dot and Kiddushin, it would need to be acceptance.
We need to be.
You can't just be the condition, have the person be aware you're Makadosh, and you have to actually accept it.
Well, I don't know, but in other words, what if her father's doing it?
Right, but he has to accept it. Somebody has to accept it.
Right. Yeah, correct.
That could be the reason why For Rabbi Yochanan, I'm saying there's a difference between Kiddushin and Gittin. Because Gittin is a passive thing. You receive the get. Whoever receives it, they have to wear fine, but they don't have to be like.
They don't have to be happy about it.
Or they have to even like accept it. With Kiddushin, they actually have to be aware of it. And there's a different level of involvement in that.
Yes, correct. Now look at the halacha. Here's the Rambam. Vladimir, you remembered what you wanted to say.
No. I remembered it was the same question as already asked. Okay. What's the time difference between Rabbi Yehuda and Rish Lakish?
Between Rabbi Yehuda is Rabbi Yehuda is the last of the Tanayim. That's Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. That's a machlok in the Mishnah, right? In other words, the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda, that's a machlok in the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yochanan is 100 years later.
Oh, he's already an Amora.
He's an Amora. Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan are. What was the relationship between Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan?
Brothers.
They were brothers-in-law. You know, the famous Gemara in Bava Metzia Pei Dalid. How they meet, how Rish Lakish was a bandit, right, or something. He was a gladiator, a bandit, a criminal, whether he was never frum and he was Chozer B'tshuva, or he was frum and then he went off to Derek and he came back. And he's so enamored with Rabbi Yochanan's good looks. He says, you know, with good looks like that, you could get a lot of ladies. And Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, who was very strong since he was busy being a bandit, with strength like that, you could learn a lot of Torah. So he says, if you think I'm good looking, you should see my sister. Chozer l'mutav, go back to be a good boy, come learn Torah, and I'll make a shidduch with you and my sister. And that's what happens. Until one day, a misplaced word from Rabbi Yochanan, some insult uttered, shalom b'mitkaven, without intention, destroys both of them. It's in Bava Kam, the Bava Metzia.
We learn that sugya in the Sefer. I don't know which one's that. Maybe it was maybe about another reason, but we definitely have to get to it.
I don't know. It's a Gemara. It's Bava Metzia Daf Pei Dalet Omud Aleph, I think. You don't know this Gemara? It's one of the most famous Agadot in Jazz. It's so famous that Agnon based the story on it. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim Shayu Biyireinu, two scholars who were in our town. Anyway, so the Rambam here, look at the Rambam. The Rambam says, Nitkadsha kodem she tivgur. If she got married before she became a bogeret, while she was in Na'ara Murasa, shelo ledat aviha. And her father's not around. She does it on her own. Eina mikudeshet. Doesn't work. But below 12, certainly not. This is below 12 and a half. This is between 12 and 12 and a half. Kal v'chomer if she's below 12. Afilu nitratza av achar shenitkadsha. And then the father meets the boy and he finds that ala mailas, he's got ichus and money and he's handsome and set up for work and parnose is a big house, believes in helping out his father-in-law. He'll think it over. But even so, v'afilu nitalmana unitgarsha me'otan hakidushin eina asura al kohen. Right? It's not a marriage. It doesn't count.
But he calls it a kiddushin.
He calls it kiddushin in air quotes, right? In other words, that's exactly the point. He says it has no halachic relevance. If you go, if a man goes and stands under a chuppah and says Hareyat mikudeshet li bet habat zu, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, but the tabat had no Shave Pruta, and there were no Adim. It was just him and her underneath the chuppah and the moon. What do we call that? Nothing.
Trist.
It has no halachic significance whatsoever, right? If you see, if you go into the store and you see this beautiful woman in a beautiful wedding gown, and you have all the Adim, and you have a Shave Pruta, and people go, la, 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 you say, Harat Mikudeshet Li, and you put it on her finger, but it turns out that this woman wearing the beautiful wedding dress was a mannequin, right? It was a mannequin in the wedding dress store. What do we call that? Halachically irrelevant. right? So if she identifies as, right, as a mannequin. So the Rambam is saying, it, without the father's assent, it is halachically irrelevant. And she was never married. She doesn't need a divorce. If she wants to marry a Kohen, Vakasha, enjoy. Good luck to you. Mazal tov. Just make sure Abba approves. Or wait until you're 12 and a half. Uvein hi uvein avia yachol la'akev. Bein shinit katsha b'fanav. Bein shinit katsha shelo b'fanav. Eina mikudesh. The Shulchan Aruch says very plainly, nit katsha kodem shetivgar. Tivagir. Tibagir. Shelo ledat aviha. Eina mikudesh. What? Tibagir. In the Shulchan Aruch. So the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch agree. How do we paskin? What? Yeah, but who are they paskining like? Like Rabbi Yochanan, like the Rabbanan, Aliba the Rabbi Yochanan. Right? We follow the Rabbanan according to the way Rabbi Yochanan interprets.
Well, also Rabbi Yochanan. I mean, he says that the Rabbanan, the Rabbi Yochanan says they don't disagree. So it's not just the Rabbanan.
That's right. Okay. Yeah.
Excuse me. What does it mean when it says, Ben hi uben avia yecholim la'akev? What does that mean, according to the Rambam? What's the concept of la'akev?
I'm not sure.
Good question.
Maybe that either of them, maybe the choser dot of either of them could be ma'akev the kiddushin.
What's both of either of them? Why? But no. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to look.
Said there's no kiddushin. Therefore, what is there to be ma'akev?
Right.
Okay. Anyway, let's go back to our gemara. Let's skip to the bottom of Mem Dalet Omid Aleph. About seven lines from the bottom. Seven lines from the bottom. The first word on the line is Savar Lak Rabbi Yehuda, period. So now the Gemara says, Rabbi Asi Lo Al Leve Midrasha. Rav Asi didn't go to the Beis Medrash. This is a very common introduction to, it's a kind of formulaic way of introducing a halacha. It appears in different places throughout Shas. One day, Rav Asi didn't go to the Beis Medrash. In other words, there was one place to find out what was going on in the world of Torah, and that was the Beis Medrash. So if for some reason you didn't make it that day, you had to go to the dentist, you had jury duty, who knows what, so you didn't know what was going on. Like, you know, like the days, like when there was one news source, you have to go to the news, remember the newsstand? Right? If you go to the newsstand and see the headlines, you wouldn't know what was going on. So one day, he didn't hear what was going on in the Beis Medrash. Ashkechele Rabbi Zera. He bumps into Rabbi Zera. So Amar Le, my Amar, ha'idna be Medrasha. What are they talking about today in the Beis Medrash? Amar Le, af ana lo ail. I also didn't make it. Who am I going to get the notes from? In school, you get the notes from somebody. So Rabbi Avin, who the ayah. But Rabbi Avin, we can count on Rabbi Avin. He showed up for class that day. V'omar, and Rabbi Avin said, Chavruta kula k'Rabbi Yochanan. The whole Chavruta, meaning the whole Chabura, everybody agreed, but they were debating our issue. They were debating our issue. Forget for a minute that we already saw the Rambam, or we already saw the Shulchan Aruch, and we know the halachas like Rabbi Yochanan against Reish Lakish. But one day they're debating this issue. We want to know what's the bottom line, right? Who's the halacha like? Right? You know, like now in this season in America, they release all the Supreme Court decisions. Like every day, another 5-6 Supreme Court decisions come out. So like the Supreme Court is still very old-fashioned. Right, they release the decisions. The reporters are in the press room. And they hand around paper copies of the decisions as they're issued, and they have to quickly, you know, like read them. Some of them are like 60, 80, 100 pages long, and then they have to report on, you know, this decision was handed down today, and this is the result. And you know, you'll be able to do this, you won't be able to do that. So everybody was talking about the Amachlokas, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and everybody, the whole chabura, the whole chavruta, agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. And what happened? The Tzavach Reish Lakish Ki Kruchya. And Reish Lakish shouted like a crane. Is that a picture of a crane?
I would have guessed a heron if you hadn't said that, but I guess...
What's it called?
I don't know. I thought you said it's a...
Goose.
It's herring. Herring? No. I think it's a crane, right? Anyway, he made some kind of like... And a gore's a crane.
Okay.
Yeah. Right? He made some loud and obnoxious noise. V'yotze v'haita! He quotes the well-known Hekesh. The Pasuk says, go back to the page with the sources. The Pasuk in Parshat Kitetse about Gittin says, Ki yikach ishi sha'uvala, when a man takes a woman and they live together in a conjugal way, v'haya im lo timtzachen be'enav, and if he doesn't like her and he finds something objectionable about her, katav la sefer kritut, he writes her a bill of divorce, v'natan biyada, and he puts it in her hand, v'shilcha mibeito. Until now, we've learned something from every word in the pasuk, but how a get is affected. V'yatz'a mibeito, she exits his home, v'halcha, and she goes, v'haita, and she will be, La'ishacher, or she can be to another man. In other words, that's the way divorce works. When he divorces her, there can be no strings. If there are any strings attached, it's not a divorce. If he writes her a get that says, Hare at muteret l'chol adam, except for Larry. I don't like Larry. I don't want Larry to get married to you. That's not a divorce. The husband can't stipulate something like that. In Kiddushin, we do have the idea of Kiddushin. We've seen it already in our Masechta. We'll see it again. Kiddushin, we do have the idea of Kiddushin al Tanai. I'll marry you on the condition that you're a Talmid Chacham. I'll marry you on the condition that that all your teeth are yours. I'm not gonna, I don't wanna like, you know, on the wedding night find you popping out your teeth. Right? You can make all types of Tanayim and Kiddushin conditions, not all of which stand halachically, but many of them do. But Gittin, there can be no tonight.
And once, you know, she's divorced. Aren't there different kinds of tanayim you can put in the get? They talk about giving people get on tonight if I don't come back from the war.
No. That's something else. That's the whole get is conditional.
Yeah.
That if the following event occurs, no, Sharon, it's a good point. There is such a thing as a conditional get. Perhaps the most famous case is somebody goes off to war, and for fear that she'll be left in aguna, because you know what used to happen in war, so he gives her a get that says, if the whole regiment comes back from war and I have not returned within a year after the last soldier comes back, so then this get goes into effect. The get is left with the bet din, and it goes into effect for her retroactive or proactively from that point on, right? And she's divorced from that point, so that she's not an aguna for her whole life. Or there's ways to do it also retroactively, but the point is, that's not a condition in the get. That's a conditional get. The condition in the get would be, I'm divorcing you right now, and I say you're divorced, but I don't want you to ever marry Larry. I'm divorced from you, but you're not allowed to live in Jerusalem, because I don't want to have to bump into you at the makolet.
Yeah.
That is not a get, because there's still this condition that's connecting you. There's a string attached, and the string is attached between the ex-husband and the ex-wife means they're not. It hasn't been severed. Hasn't been a kritut. So from this posuk bet vayatsami beito, she goes from his house v'hayta le'ishacher, she enters the house of another, meaning she's free to marry. That's true. The Torah makes certain conditions about who she can marry. The Torah says this woman cannot marry a kohen, because divorcees and kohen, but that's a separate halacha, not connected to the husband.
That's a limit on the kohen.
That's a limit on the kohen, not even on her, and it's not connected to the ex-husband, right? In principle, the divorce allows her to, she's a completely free agent. So what's Rabbi Reish Lakish screaming about like a crane?
What would be a better English idiom? We don't scream like cranes. We scream like banshees. Screaming like a banshee. Vayotza vahaita. What's he saying? We learn out the halachot. Very, very many of the halachot. Of vahaita. Of
differentiating between gittin
and kiddushin. From
saying whatever applies here applies there.
Yitziah v'havaya, going out and coming in, is a nickname for the fact that we learn out things about kiddushin from gittin and gittin from kiddushin. So wait a second. If the halacha, they say Rabbi Avin and Beis Medrash said everybody agreed that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish, who apparently is defeated in this argument, says v'haita v'yatza v'haita. Wait a second. If the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, right, that the father's role is different for kiddushin than it is for gittin, what about the hekesh of learning from one to the other, which is apparently why Reish Lakish held his opinion? We learn the halachot of kiddushin. Oddly, we learn the halachot of kiddushin from gittin in this case. Not so romantic, but it's the fact. Veleka de ashkech be, and they did not pay attention to him. He was screaming like the banshee, and they didn't pay attention to him because everybody else agreed with Rabbi Yochanan. So Omar le Rabbi Avin bar Samcho. So they say to him that, well, you know, this is what Rabbi Avin, because again, the Gemara is reporting this, it's all secondhand. Like we are not, all of the action in the story has taken place off screen, right? We're getting a report that this is what was said. So we say, Rav Avin, he reported this and he's usually reliable. He's usually a reliable reporter. Omar le, ain kimi, no, so they say, is he reliable? So they say, I'm sorry, where did I go? So, in kimin yama latigna, straight out of the frying pan into the fire, or straight out of the ocean into the frying pan. It's a rabbinic idiom. You know, when you catch a fish don't last very long. Usually when you catch a fish, when do you cook it? The day you catch it. Right? So it's one day from the ocean to the frying pan. It's a rabbinic idiom that means
yes.
Right away. Right? What's the English idiom for
PDQ?
PDQ. We say in Yiddish the time it takes from Tanis Esther to Purim. Right? Meaning like from one to the next.
Lickety split.
Right? Lickety split?
Yeah.
What's the lickety? So, meaning like, of course he's reliable. It happened today. He's not reporting something he heard last year. He's reporting something that happened today. We can count on him to the fact that every, and not only that, everybody agreed. Right? So it's a reliable testimony. Hu Amar, Omar of Nachman by Yitzchak. So then Rab Nachman bar Yitzchak says, Ana lo Rabbi Avin, this is kind of parenthetical, Ana lo Rabbi Avin b'Rabbi Chia, v'lo Rabbi Avin bar Kahana, ele Rabbi Avin stam. So he says, when I quoted this, I didn't say this is Rabbi Avin bar Chia, and I didn't tell you it was Rabbi Avin bar Kahana, but it's Rabbi Avin stam. You know, like there were certain names that were repeated. There were certain names of Amoraim that got repeated. And to differentiate them, sometimes we use the father's name or sometimes we use a nickname. So there were three Rabbi Avins. So it wasn't that Rabbi Avin. It wasn't the other Rabbi. It was Rabbi Avin Stam. Okay, that's nice. But why are you pointing that out? Lamai Nafkamina? Like, okay, what difference does it make who reported it? What's important is what the result was, what the conclusion was. Lamemra didea didea. What? Lamirma didea didea. Well, first of all, there's a different reason.
The reason he gives is so that we should know his statement on his statement. Shalom al shalom. This happens all the time in the Gemara. Rabbi Meir said this and Rabbi Meir said that. So the Gemara says, how could he have said these two contradictory things? In other words, the Gemara never likes the idea that one chacham, a Tana and a Mora, contradicts himself. So what's one of the ways out of doing that? Because Rabbi Avin said X and Rabbi Avin said Y and they can't go together. So we don't like that. We like everything to agree. We would like Rabbi Avin and Rabbi Yochanan to agree. Kal v'chomer, we want Rabbi Avin to agree with himself. So what's one way around this? One was Rabbi Avin Bar Chiya, one was Rabbi Avin Bar Kahana. It's two different Rabbi Avins, which is bad enough, right? But at least it's not an internal contradiction. So why is it important to establish precisely the identity of who said this? So that we can establish if he's being consistent with other things that he said and not have to rely on it's like putting fingerprints onto the thing. The other idea is that, generally speaking, you know when the Gemara will give you Omer Rabbi X, Omer Rabbi Y, Omer Rabbi Z? What do I need all this for? What do I need this chain of tradition? So generally speaking, absent any other evidence, if somebody is quoted on the chain of transmission, it means not only that they're reporting the transmission, but that they agree with the statement that they're reporting. Now, sometimes this will be a press. Sometimes the Gemara will also do this. They'll say, oh, Omer Rabbi X, Omer Rabbi Y, Omer Rabbi Z, this is the halacha. And then we're going to see that that Rabbi X says something contradictory. So it's only the assumption, if he's in that chain of transmission, that he agrees with the statement that he's transmitting, which doesn't have to be the case, right? We all quote statements by other people that we disagree with, correct? Yeah, all the time, right?
I remember one mission where there's a machlok between Hillel and Beit Hillel.
Well, great. You
assume that they traditionally consistent with it.
No. Okay, so that's it. So boy mine Rava mi Rav Nachman. So Rava asks from Rav Nachman the following. Turn to 44b. Ne'ara, a young girl, 12 to 12 and a half, Mahu shita asesh shaliach lekabel gita miyad ba'ala. Well, what about this girl about appointing a shaliach? What did we say? What did we say about a girl accepting the get? She can accept the get. That's the halacha. This girl, not yet an adult, can accept the get. But can she appoint a shaliach? Can she appoint an emissary to accept it on her behalf? What would you, without, pretend for a second you haven't prepared ahead in the Gemara.
Why not?
Yeah.
Why not? If she's old enough to accept it herself, then, so Kal Vachomer, she should be able to appoint a shaliach to accept it for. Or, what's the svara that she can't?
This is a specific dispensation for her. Able to accept it, but we don't say that she can, that this kind of this is allowed all kinds of other
with other, it's, well, you can say it's tzvedinim. It's two distinct halachot. There's one halacha that controls who and from what age is allowed to accept a get. Now, we would all agree that this is a lenient opinion to allow this non-fully adult girl or young woman to accept the get. But for whatever reasons, the Torah or Chazal might have found a way. But the laws of Shlichut, maybe those are governed by, when a woman appoints a Shaliach to accept her get, is that a halacha in Gittin or is it a halacha in Shlichut? Right? So maybe they don't go together. Maybe they don't go together. So do we say it's kiyad avihadamya? Do we say that her hand is an extension of her father's hand? Her father's allowed to appoint a shaliach.
Right? That's a Mishnah Mifureshet. The father's allowed to appoint a shliach to accept the get. But, so do we say that she also is able to be involved in that shlichut? Oh, kechatzer avi hadamya. Now this distinction between the father's hand and the father's chatzer, his courtyard, is important. Because we know that a chatzer, a court, you know, in the times of Chazal, kind of somewhat akin to our own concept of the backyard.
Courtyards anywhere surrounded by houses usually.
Well, in other words, it was a private domain. It was a private domain, whether it was surrounded by a fence or it was surrounded by the backside of the next wall is less important. No, but here we're talking conceptually what this chatzer is. What is a chatzer? A chatzer is it's a public private space. Nobody's allowed to walk into your house without your permission. Correct? Your front yard, is that your private property?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Let's imagine not so much the way our houses are here. Some of you live in apartments, which is a different thing altogether. But you remember the house you might have grown up, the house I grew up in suburban New Jersey, right? There was exactly the way like a kid draws a house, right? You know, red roof, you know, door, windows with X's in them, right? Grass, flowers. There's a front yard. Let's say the front yard even has a gate around it. No one is allowed to come up to my house and open the door and barge in. If they do, the law even gives me very far-reaching protections, right, to do bodily harm to such a person. Somebody walks into my house unannounced, and if I legitimately feel endangered, and I shoot him in the leg, most jurisdictions will give me some kind of pass. I won't be convicted for murder for sure. Might not even be convicted for manslaughter. Right?
Oh, you're not going to kill. He dies.
Assuming he dies, right? Or assuming he's just bodily injured. Right? In other words, I'm going to be, I was speaking of Lashon Sagi Nohar. I didn't want to disturb people who might be offended by the idea of bloodshed. Most jurisdictions are going to give me a pass because I felt threatened by this person. He wasn't armed. Like there was this crazy story last year where, what was it? Police were answering a call and they went into the wrong house in the middle of the night. And police are allowed to, if there's reasonable cause, police are allowed to enter a house, but they entered the wrong house and the person thinks he's being broken into and shoots and they shoot back. But if somebody is walking up my front drive, can't shoot him. Why?
Because he has no way of knocking on your door otherwise.
Because even though it's my private property, right? Even though it's my private property, people are allowed to enter my private property.
Depends on what? It also depends on the jurisdiction.
It depends. Okay, but you understand. I'm speaking generally, but you understand the idea. So the chatzer, that common space, which is my property, but is common, which is open as open access private property. That's what a chatzer is in halacha. A chatzer has other purposes in halacha, particularly if you ever study Masechet Eruvin.
I don't think it's the same chatzer. It's not the chatzer.
No, it's her private.
Well, he's talking about a private. Not talking
about
a
private chatzer. So putting something in some, like how often do you get a package delivered to your house? Every day we're getting packages from Amazon, from this, from that, from the other thing.
How do you get them delivered to your house?
So sometimes you have to pick them up at the store.
Right,
we get a coffee delivery every month. I get a lot of books sent to me because of tradition. The publishers all send review. Because I come home at the end of the day, there's usually a package waiting for me on the doorstep. Sometimes they call and say, "Can I leave it there?" But if they left it like on the street, right? They haven't done their shlichut. But if they come and they leave it right by the front door,
And they often like take a picture of it to verify that it was left, and they send it to your phone. It's not exactly a chatzer, but my front door stoop is kind of like my property. It acquires the package, as it were, on my behalf. And if you come by and you see a package from Amazon, right, this is why people now have these cameras, you know, these porch cameras to catch, because people walk by, they see Amazon packages, they're stealing all the things. But really, it's yours. I've already acquired it. So that's this idea of chatzer. So when we say that you have to give the get to a woman, v'natan biyada, it's not literally her hand. You have to put it into her domain. One of the ways of putting it into her domain is to put it into her chatzer under certain conditions, right? It depends on whether it's a chatzer where she's like aware of what's going on there or not. But that's the topic here of the question of, can this girl, is the girl more like the father's hand? She's an extension of the father, or is it like a kind of chatzer, like giving it to her, but appointing her as shliach, her appointing a shliach is an extension of the chatzer. But this is where we'll come back to next week when we continue at the top of Mem Beis Amud Beis. Thanks to the folks online. We hope to see you next week.
Thank you.
So.